if a man were actually doing what he is doing because God wants him to do it and he's obeying God, is it important that he should try and be just as smart as he knows how to be? If we were going out to serve the Lord, should we expect that in the course of serving the Lord we should face actual practical difficulties? Would it be normal for us to think that if we were doing what God wanted us to do, we would still have to use the best judgment that we had and the best skill that we had in order to accomplish what God wanted us to do? Now, this question, we will see, is answered in the actions and the career of Paul and in his experience of being taken across the Mediterranean in a ship during a terrific storm. We are studying in the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, and at this point in our study today, we're beginning at the 38th verse, Acts 27, verse 38, and we're going to have a record of how they managed to bring the ship to land in the course of a terrific storm that had lasted for more than 2 weeks and had blown them all over the Mediterranean in its fierce gale. And they had given up hope of being saved and their hope of being living through it many times, but they had now finally come through. And now we're going to see how this is done. Chapter 27, verse 38. We have the practical account of beaching the ship, of bringing the ship into land. Let me read it to you, and as I read, point out to you the various actions that they performed. And remember what we're trying to see. Does it make a difference whether or not you act with skill, if you're in the will of the Lord anyway? Couldn't you say that if you were in the will of the Lord, everything could be expected to just work out all right, that you wouldn't have to be so clever, you wouldn't have to be so smart, it's not necessary to be so intelligent, just go ahead and do it, God will overrule everything and bring His will to pass? Is that the way to feel? Now notice what we read here in chapter 27, verse 38. And when they had eaten enough, remember Paul had gotten them to cook a meal and had persuaded them to go ahead and prepare their meal because they'd been 14 days without food. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. That is, all the surplus food they threw away. Obviously, they were expecting to get to land. And because the ship would have to come in over the shallow waters, it would have to should be as light as possible so it wouldn't sink too deep in the water, and they threw the extra food overboard so that they might have a lighter cargo as they were coming into the shore. And when it was day, they knew not the land. They didn't recognize this particular place where they were. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. As they sailed around this island, they saw a point where it looked as though they could get the ship in. And when they had taken up the anchors, releasing the ship so that it could sail, they committed themselves unto the sea. They took up the anchors and then they started to sail. And they loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. You know, that would mean where two currents of water. Water was running, say, down a river one way, and maybe water running along the shore another, and two currents of water at a certain point met. If you're acquainted with that at all, you will know that if you were anywhere where water is running in currents that way, at the spot where two such currents meet, the water doesn't move very much at all, and all the sediment is likely to be deposited there, which is a way of saying what you'll find there is a sandbank. You'll probably find that there will be an underwater sandbank formed at that spot. And they came to this place and they ran the ship aground. Another language for that would be to say they beached the ship. The forepart stuck fast in this sandbank and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. That'll often happen. The ship ran up there into this sandbank. The front part stayed solid, but the hind part was broken off because of the waves. Now, This is a rather practical account. I tried to make it as clear as I could in talking along with it. Many of us are not sailors, but we can understand this pretty well. Now I want you to notice here and draw some obvious lessons. God's will was that they should land here. But the practical problems of landing were perilous nonetheless. Just because God wants me to do a certain thing doesn't mean that the difficulties that are related to that don't occur. They'll occur. Even if one is moving in God's will, it is still necessary to employ all the means and skill that you possibly can. I'm thinking some night now of parents, for example. Parents will be inclined to say, "Well, I did everything I could for my children. I tried to do right by them. I sent them to Sunday school, and I told them to do right." Is that the wisest way to do it? Now, you want to bring the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's good. How did you do it? Well, I told them what to do. Is that the best teaching way, giving them instruction of that sort, telling them to go to Sunday school, telling them to do the right thing? Is that the best way to do it? I suppose there are some of you that have had experience along this line. You'll recognize right away that if you were to take them to Sunday school, that would be better. If you would go along with them in what you want them to do, that would be better. If you had them walking with you instead of going on out and doing right thing, let them do what you're doing, that would be better. I'm talking as a teacher. Now, what I'm going to say to you is that if you want to do the will of God, bring up the child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you shouldn't act foolishly. You should do the wise, intelligent thing. If it's a wise, intelligent, helpful thing for you to set an example, then set an example. If the way to get them to go, the best way to get them to go to Sunday school is for you to go to Sunday school, then you go to Sunday school. If the best way to get them to read the Bible is for you to read the Bible, then you read the Bible. You see, do it the best way. In other words, what you want to do is all right, but the way you do it counts. Even if one is moving in God's will, it is still necessary to employ all the means and skill that you've got. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus told people to consider the fowl of the air. And I remember as a young Christian, I used to think that when you thought about the birds and about how your Heavenly Father feedeth them, I dismissed that in my mind as something rather impractical, and I was kind of sorry it was in the Bible, because no one could be, I should almost say, that foolish. But what was I actually thinking? I think I probably had in mind that if they were according to that, that God was going to feed them, it would be as though the meadowlarks, all they would need to do, and the robins, would be to go out and fly up and sit on a fence post, and then God would drop worms in there. Is that the way it's done? Now you know better. Yes, you're going to consider the birds? All right, think about the birds. Think about the robins. And your Heavenly Father feedeth them? Yes, He does. How? He provides worms for them. But He doesn't provide worms for them while they're sitting in the nest. He doesn't provide worms for them while they all line up in a row on a fence rail. He doesn't provide worms for them when they're sitting on a fence post someplace. The worms are in the ground, and you know what the robin does? Flies out and hunts. He hunts from early morning till late at night. Now, the Lord God has provided the worms for him, but he has to go get them. Well, right there is a great parable for you and for me. This is true in our homes. I expect there's not a single one of you listening to me that wouldn't want to have a home that is blessed of God. Well, there are things to do if you want a home that is blessed of God. It's just exactly as if a man wanted to have a good garden. Now, if a man wants to have a good garden, that's very important. Well, I can tell you right now, he's going to have to plant, he's going to have to cultivate, he's going to have to hoe, he's going to have to irrigate, he's going to have to protect, and then he'll have a good garden if he does these things. So here with Paul traveling in this ship, they were coming along in the will of God. They were all going to be saved. They were going to be saved on this island. But the ship is broken up on the island, and they have things to do. They've got to exercise themselves to come out safely. You'll say, "Well, I thought God was going to bring them." He did. He brought them in, but bringing them in didn't mean that they were going to come in a rocking chair Actually, they came in a storm, but they came in. Actually, they had to work, but God blessed their work. Now notice the last verse, three verses in this 27th chapter. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. Their advice was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. The Roman government had a terrific penalty if anybody let a prisoner escape. They'd better to kill him than let him escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, remember? Willing to save Paul. That means to me that Paul must have been such a prisoner, he must have treated his chief captain in such a way that that man wanted to save his life. He kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. That's the story. The peril to Paul himself was overcome by the centurion who was willing to save Paul. I'm inclined to think that Paul's own conduct earlier was now provided help for him, actually watched over him. This business of being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove can be understood by anybody, and it's appreciated, and it will win friends who can help you. You'll remember Paul's attitude as a prisoner. He had not been rebellious nor resentful, and even his intercession for the crew, when he got word that he was going to have to go to Rome, God gave him the whole crew. This safe landing was in the promise of God, but the achievement was secured by skill and work. That's the thought I want to leave with you today. You can be blessed of God, but that will mean you'll exercise yourself as wisely as you know how. Because you see, your strength is from God, your wisdom is from God, and you're to exercise it. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us grace and mercy. Help us to understand this more and more, that when we serve Thee, we will use our intelligence as well as we possibly can. At the same time, we will trust in Thee. Encourage all of us this day to serve Thee faithfully. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.